It's been a busy week in Boise City Council as newly elected members stood next to their colleagues to be sworn into office.
You raise your hand and repeat after me. I, Jimmy Halliburton.
I, Jimmy Halliburton.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
I, Kathy Corliss.
I, Kathy Corliss.
I, Lucy Willits.
I, Lucy Willits.
I, Colin Nash.
I, Colin Nash.
I, Jordan Morales.
I, Jordan Morales.
I, Meredith Stead.
I, Meredith Stead.
This is the youngest council in the city's history. They chose to make Colin Nash the new president, and council member Meredith Stead was chosen to be the new city council pro tem. Now, Stead is no stranger to public service, and our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, sat down with her for an extended interview to talk about why she serves, as well as about some of the top issues facing Idaho's capital city.
We know your work as marketing director of Ballet Idaho, marketing manager for Boise Valley Economic Partnership and over at Albertsons, serving as a commissioner and ultimately chairperson of the City of Boise's Planning and Zoning Commission, and now council member Meredith Stead. Do I have the see if I remember this right. Your call to public service came from when President Obama had a few things to say, when he said, you need to go grab a clipboard.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes. It was back in 2016. I was getting pretty frustrated with the, you know, division in national politics and what we were seeing there. And in Obama's exit speech from office, he said, if you're frustrated with your elected officials, grab a clipboard, knock on doors, and run for office yourself. And I didn't necessarily, you know, I didn't at that moment digest that as like, I'm going to work towards being an elected official. But it just, it did have an impact on me to want to do better for my community. And if I can't control what's going on nationally, what can I control? And it started off very small. I think that the next morning I bought coffee for the person behind me in line. And then that was my, you know, my area of positive impact. And then, you know, made conscious decisions from that moment really to grow that area of impact.
On the P&Z Commission, you were right in the thick of that effort to craft a new zoning code. It is reality now.
Yes.
Is it fair to say that, I think everyone agrees it is bound to see some change. But yes. Do you think, at least for the near future, it's about nuance? It's about reality?
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. What we've been trying to communicate, I think, at the city is that, you know, it'll be probably a good 12 to 18 months, maybe even, before we start seeing, you know, bigger projects as a result of the zoning code change. I know that we've seen a couple of smaller projects submitted. I know one that has already been talked about is a fourplex with a coffee shop concept near Camelback Park. But so I think it will be some time before we start seeing the shape of our city start to take place under this new zoning code. I think that'll still be a while. We just heard a project recently at council where basically, you need four, you know, every primary residence needs to have a parking spot, which I support that. But basically, that means that you need about 40 feet of between the on-site parking and the off-site parking for off-site backup space. You need over 40 feet for a parking spot. And, you know, in some of the neighborhoods where I think that we're most eager to have some of this infill and ADU projects spring up, that's a real challenge to accomplish. And so there are definitely still still nuances, as you mentioned, that need to be addressed, I think, as the code comes into practice, as these types of things materialize. You know, maybe we don't need 45 feet for a parking spot in the North End, for example. But these are all things that I think we won't really know until they start coming before us to realize that there might be some gaps to getting towards what we want to achieve.
And the key word is always exception, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, you know, this is a new, it can look really nice on paper and we just don't know what holes might emerge as it comes forward. I think that, you know, so many people worked on this effort and it includes a lot of voices. And I think it's a tremendous start. And also, you know, as we know, it has an annual review built into the code that will require ongoing evaluation. So I don't think anybody would say, you know, this box has been checked and now we can move on.
I can't help but think that we are at a crisis level of people being hit by, and in too many instances, killed in pedestrian versus vehicle accidents. I know we have a task force, but this does seem to be bigger than nearly any other challenge in front of us. Immediately, what can we do?
I think even the awareness and conversations like this is something that can be done right now. I mean, there are, as you mentioned, you know, there are some really great efforts happening on a larger scale. I know that the city of Boise is working with ACHD on, you know, implementing over $32 million in bike and pedestrian projects through
grant funding. But isn't this also about getting in between people's ears?
Well, it is. That's
exactly
right.
This is about change, right?
It is. Yeah. I mean, and as the, I know that our police force often says, you know, safety is a shared responsibility, right? Everybody has a responsibility to create a safe space for our community. And that is the most immediate action, right? Is education for motorists and cyclists and pedestrians. And I think that conversations like this is a great step towards awareness. I mean, even in my day-to-day conversations, you hear folks say that they're now thinking twice about stepping on the gas when a light turns yellow. And that might seem trivial, but, you know, if each one of us carried that with us, you know, we'll arriving 5 minutes sooner isn't worth the risk.
You know what? That might be it. I'm just to jump in there. That might be it. The yellow light.
Yeah.
That might be the conversation that has been missing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I do think that it, you know, it is a human level. This, you know, and we can, policy makes a big difference, right? That's why we ask for things like street trees and setbacks, and all of that works towards creating safer spaces for everybody on the road. But I think it really does come down to awareness and talking about it and thinking about it more often than just trying to rush to your next destination.
Okay, so you now have you've got a permanent space on the dais, and
for 4 years.
Yeah, that nameplate is going to be there for a little while. So here we go. What does Boise need right now that it doesn't have?
Yeah, I mean, it seems, you know, it might sound like we've talked a lot about this, but from what I heard on the campaign trail and what I hear from folks regularly is that variety of housing options for our residents. Mm-hmm. We need housing, you know, we need all types of housing that comes in all types of cost points. And I think that, you know, we're on the track to get there, but we need to continue to refine what we're seeing to reach that change that we need in the housing options.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This new year, LifeKit wants to help you succeed, because everyone needs a little help being human.
It can seem so overwhelming. You're not alone.
Who can I commit to being?
If you want to do something, then just do it. Just take that first step.
Great advice every week. Listen to LifeKit from NPR.